D-Mace Vingen and Donick 102.5, The Game, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. We've got some giveaways coming up on the show. Be listening this hour for your chance to win a pair of tickets to see the Belmont women's basketball team take on Kentucky at the Curb Event Center on Sunday. Also, Silly Underdog Picks coming up in the 5 o'clock hour. If you represent the people and win, you will win a pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah at the Ryman on February 10th. So some great prizes, so be listening for the remainder of the show. A quick update, we mentioned that Michigan has fired football coach Sharon Moore. The university has put out a statement saying he has been fired for cause because, quote, credible evidence was found that Coach Moore engaged in an inappropriate relationship with a staff member.
Well, we know what that was. Absolutely 100%. We know what that was. And I take it that it was a big deal, maybe because one of them has, or both have a significant other. So, unfortunately for Michigan, they are enthralled in another.
Part of you secretly love this, though?
Kind of, sort of.
I'm open.
I'm just eating my popcorn and watching.
Look, I'm open about how much I've loved whatever the hell's going on at North Carolina with Bill Belichick and Jordan Hudson. So
I wouldn't. I don't wish ill on people, but Michigan people, like Michigan, if you went to the University of Michigan and played for any of the sports teams, then if you walk yourself into something like that, then I'm gonna say you deserve what you're getting. I don't wish it on you.
Right.
But if you walk yourself into that, Sharon, then okay. Good for you. I hope it was worth it, brother.
A couple of texts from our previous conversations. Troy, it says Troy, not Tony. Troy, not Tony from Murfreesboro says, I don't know if you guys have covered this yet, but why didn't the Colts try to sign Ryan Tannehill? I mentioned this on the show yesterday. I discovered a new publication called Escapist Magazine, where Ryan Tannehill did an interview last month where he said, quote, about his playing career, I think that chapter is closed. I think last year that was where I was at. If the right opportunity came up and was right for our family, staying in shape and staying ready, I had plenty of calls, but nothing ever felt like the right opportunity that I was looking for. That was last NFL season. At this point, I think that ship has sailed for me. So it appears that Ryan Tannehill was not an option. Lenny says, on Derek's idea about trading Will Levis to the Colts, we have to keep Will Levis so that next year when Cam proves that he can't play as an NFL starter, we have a quarterback that can win games. Can you guys excuse me for a moment? That was the sound of me banging my head against the desk.
Oh, my goodness.
That's my response to Lenny's text. That really hurt. I don't know why I did that.
Winning games.
Don't concuss yourself. The independent spotter is going to have to come out like last night during the shootout. Did you see that?
No.
You didn't see that last night?
I was asleep during the shootout, to be honest with you.
It was close to midnight, so I you're not, you know, a night owl. But so Philip Forsberg tried his shootout move, and his momentum carried him right into Scott Wedgwood, former teammate of his, and he was immediately, oh, no, what did I just do? So he leveled him. And Wedgwood appeared to be okay. He got up. He was ready to go. And the independent spotter, this is with the game on the line, the shootout, yanked him out of the game. Wedgwood.
Oh, wow.
And so he was not going to be allowed to take the next shot.
Because they thought he had a concussion?
They thought they wanted to evaluate him, which is, that's the protocol. So the guy that was coming in, Mackenzie Blackwood, hadn't played the whole night. I mean, we're talking midnight. He hasn't done anything since the warm-up. And he didn't have to face a shot because UC Soros stopped the third shot for Colorado when it was a moot point. But that was going to be a pretty interesting scenario. So do we need to get the spotter out here? Adam, D-Mace and I can finish
I'm
the
okay.
show.
Yeah. I'm okay.
But hey, it's the guy's independent. If he if he sees that you're wobbly or woozy or anything and you're off, he's coming in.
I'll let you know.
Okay.
Tap him.
Matthew from Jolton, who I believe is a diehard Michigan fan, says, thank God Moore is gone. Wes from Hermitage says, there's not a better head coach or school that this could happen to. A bunch of cheaters at Michigan. It is what it is, and you get what you get.
Okay, so who's the next coach at Michigan?
They don't know.
Biff Pogge.
He's their interim?
He's coaching the bowl game.
The bowl game, yeah.
But who's the next Michigan coach?
Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Not Harbaugh. He can't
Brian
go back.
Kelly?
Harbaugh can't go back.
Brian Kelly?
Brian Kelly.
Yes. Ah. Please, please get Brian Kelly. Please. Please go get Brian Kelly. Please do it. Please.
But, I mean, that's not a job that people are going to say, oh, yeah, Michigan's open. I'm good. Like, I think people are going to say, oh, Michigan's open?
They're going to take it. Yeah. I mean, it's a premier job, okay?
It's a premier job.
I will say that. That's it.
That's the nicest thing you're going to hear about Michigan from Derek Mays.
Yes.
But speaking of coaching vacancies, the Tennessee Titans will have one soon because we know Mike McCoy isn't going to be the next full-time head coach. The Titans are at the 49ers on Sunday. Niners favored by 12.5, by the way, at Levi Stadium in Santa Clara, California. And I'm wondering, guys, if the Titans' next head coach could be on the 49ers sideline. I am talking about 49ers defensive coordinator and former New York Jets head coach Robert Saleh. Nick Suss of the Tennessean recently wrote an article ranking the most attractive head coaching candidates for the Tennessee Titans. And guess who he had at number one? Robert Saleh. Nick Suss wrote, quote, "He's the easy and obvious number one pick here, even if his New York Jets tenure didn't work out. Remember, he coached the Jets to 7-10 records with quarterbacks like Zach Wilson, Mike White, Joe Flacco, Trevor Siemian, and here's a blast from the recent past, Tim Boyle."
Ooh.
"And look at the wizardry he and Kyle Shanahan are pulling off this season without defensive leaders Nick Bosa and Fred Warner, as well as first-round pick Michael Williams. Good coach, good leader, good candidate."
People, when they talk about Robert Saleh, speak super highly of him, especially from the San Francisco camp. Like, he is held in the highest regard. So I think that's a really intriguing name, especially because he's not the first, and he certainly won't be the last guy that just didn't get it done with the Jets. The Jets are fraught with a lot of things that seem to make it hard to win there. And you named the number one thing. He never had the quarterback. So I would look like he would jump above Kevin Stefanski, right?
Stefanski's off my list. We talked about this last week. After those two-point conversions.
I bring that up because he's the last guy you brought into this discussion, right?
Stefanski, hard pass.
Okay. What about D-Base? What do you think?
I'm not a Stefanski guy.
After what I saw.
Yeah, right.
After,
but what about Saleh?
It's interesting because, you know, really good defensive coordinator. I don't know how the, you know, San Francisco defense is this year, but historically he's been a pretty good defensive coordinator. And his Jets defense were pretty good.
They had a couple of very good defenses.
But I want to know, like, it wasn't just the Jets. Like you said, Willie, every coach that goes there seems to have to whatever with the Jets. Something goes on and ends up not working. Was it more so of the Jets? Because you've never finished better than 7-10. You were 4-13 when you first got there, and you end up, you know, 2-3, they end up firing you after the 24th season. Well, during the 24th season. So how much of it was the, you know, organization, or how much of it was the head coach? Did the coach lose the locker room, you know, in that scenario? I'm not saying he wouldn't be a bad choice. Again, like Stefanski, I want to know what happened. Like, why did that team that seemed to have so much promise on defense, I know, but they had some guys on offense that y'all were not able to mesh? Because other, you know, you have some coaches that are really good coaches that find a way, even with the sort of quarterback carousel, to put their team in a position to make a playoffs. And I'm not saying that, you know, it was something wrong. Is something wrong with him as a coach because he didn't do that? But I just want to know the circumstances within that whole Jets tenure.
So Robert Saleh had a record of 20-36 as Jets coach, a .357 winning percentage that ranks as the worst in Jets franchise history among coaches with a minimum of 40 games coached. But again, let me read to you the quarterbacks who started games for the New York Jets under Robert Saleh: Zach Wilson, 33 games. Ooh. Mike White, 7 games. Aaron Rodgers, 6 games. Joe Flacco, 5 games. Trevor Siemian, 3 games. Tim Boyle, 2 games. Those two last guys, Siemian and Boyle, are Titans practice squad level quarterbacks because they were on the Titans practice squad.
Let's be honest. I mean, that's the full list, right?
That's the entire list. Those are the starting quarterbacks for the Jets under Robert Saleh.
So, yeah, Zach Wilson, who just didn't get it done. Mm-hmm. And then Aaron Rodgers that couldn't stay healthy. And that's it.
Yeah, pretty much.
Then they were going to plan C, D, E, F at that point.
But he's always going to be, I think, a good defensive-minded coach because he was a part of that 49er run from 17 to 20 where they were just dominant, you know, defense, and they were doing a lot of other things offensively. And then he was able to maintain that level of dominance for at least 2 years with the Jets as far as their defense. Now, that last year, those last 2 years or year and a half he was there, their defense did taper off. They had a bunch of names, but they weren't playing well. And Sauce Gardner was one of the guys that were not playing well. Now, he could have been injured, dealing with some injuries, but a lot of those guys that they relied on the previous year that they had one of the best defenses in the National Football League end up being guys that you couldn't count on the next following year. And they, you know, it seemed like things sort of checked out for a lot of those guys. So I wonder, was that because of the head coach? They just sort of checked out from the head coach, or was it because of the circumstances they were in as far as just organization, period?
So Robert Saleh recently did an interview on Josina Anderson's podcast, and she asked him what he would do differently if and when he becomes a head coach again. Here's what he had to say.
Anything you would do differently again as a head coach?
Yeah, there's a lot of things I'd do differently.
Top thing.
My top... one of the biggest things I do is I'm going to call. I'd like to call it, you know.
Mm.
I feel like, you know, when you're immersed in the game as a play caller, I think it brings out an emotion, the emotion in me that that gets me excited and keeps me connected to all the players and keeps me connected to the game a little bit more. So, yeah, it'd definitely be – that'd be the number one thing I would change.
So that was Robert Saleh explaining what he would do differently if he gets another opportunity. He would call plays.
Would he be, did he mean, because he's not an
offensive, defense.
Yeah,
on defense,
yes, because yeah. I was about to say he's not an offensive-minded guy, not to say he couldn't, you know, do
I
whatever.
I don't believe he called plays for the Jets defensively as the head coach.
I think that's what he was implying.
Yeah,
he wants to be
more involved. And I can understand that, you know, so maybe, so what was it then, you know, with the Jets? Was it more so of the organization, period?
It's the Jets.
Or was it?
They got the Cuckoo Bananas owner too.
Yeah, it could be. Or your coaching style. I don't know. Again, he's not someone that I would shy away from or take him off the list. But like Stefanski, and I even said with Stefanski, I wouldn't take him off the list, but I would ask him about these things that went on with Cleveland as far as the quarterbacks and how much of that was a part. Was he a part of? And it's starting to seem like he may be a big part of that whole thing going on with Shador, and not in a positive way. So, kind of feeling that now, I'm like, maybe not Stefanski, and I'm done. So now you can insert a guy like Robert Saleh. And again, what happened in those 3 years? That's what I want to know. And he gave the right answer. Listen, there are a lot of things that I would change. One would be I would be a play caller. Why? Because he said it keeps me involved in the game. And I think sometimes coaches have a hard time, especially ones that were coordinators and now they're head coaches, they have a hard time of not being that guy anymore.
Scott and Waverly on our text line says, I am a diehard 49ers fan my whole life, and I would love nothing more than to see Robert Saleh as the Titans head coach. Look at the defense he's built in San Fran this year. But what makes him special is he can win with the practice squad guys as long as they play hard. He's done it this year. He has no big name players on that defense, and they keep winning.
Is this team ready for a Robert Saleh type of mentality? Because his mentality is like Vrabel's.
He skews more back toward the Vrabel
exactly.
side of things.
Yes. Absolutely.
And that was one thing. Remember when we first talked about the profile of the type of coach, I like that it matches what I was looking for, and that is a leader. I do think Robert Saleh has that presence of a leader. He's also been through a tough mm-hmm. time. He's been on really good teams. But that experience with the Jets,
yeah,
I think would serve him well for the Titans because he knows when he takes over mm-hmm. that it's a project.
Yeah.
You're not going to be handed the keys to a Mercedes, right? You're going to have to do some work under the hood,
but
which I can't do.
But is this organization...
By the way, I couldn't change a spark plug to saved my life.
Are they ready?
Can't
for
change
that
my own oil.
Big personality.
Could fill up the tires with air.
That's important.
Yeah. You can fill up the tire with air.
At least you can do that.
Well, some people can't even do that.
Richie from White House says the Titans want a head coach who can bring a similar culture as Mike Vrabel. If Robert Saleh couldn't handle the drama of Aaron Rodgers during the offseason and deal with the media, could he possibly lead this team with the expectations that they are expecting here? It's a completely different situation.
Totally different.
When the Jets brought in Aaron Rodgers, they were expecting to win. It's also New York, really New Jersey, but New York versus Nashville. Significantly different, and I would say lower expectations here than what he faced in New York. So I get the point, Richie. I think they're two totally different situations.
Yeah, they're two situations. Comparing – you know, this market in to New York. And listen, we have some great, you know, journalists, reporters, people that cover teams here in Nashville. But everybody, they would probably even tell you, TD back there, but nothing's like New York, man. It's like New York ain't going to let you hide. They're just not. So it's just a different
and
beast.
And they really
animal.
Don't care about the
exactly.
circumstances.
They don't right? care. They
they're
just,
not like, well,
yeah.
you have Zach Wilson quarterback.
They don't care. No. Nope.
Aaron Rodgers got hurt on the first play. No, no big deal. You still got
to
win.
You need to win, yeah.
One texter says, Robert says, more like handing him the keys to a Pinto. 615-737.
Hey, if that Pinto got some good tires, we could roll for a while.
What was the name of your coach who made you drive without the headlights on?
Oh, Coach Lynch. Coach Robert Lynch.
And what kind of car was that?
That was a big, that was a, what was that? It was a, oh my goodness. Was it a, it wasn't an old, was it an Oldsmobile or DeVille? It was a DeVille, I think. Man, it was a big car though.
Okay.
But we ain't had no headlights. And we had to ride behind a 18-wheeler.
Sounds like the Tennessee Titans right now. 615-737-1025. All right. I've got a pair of tickets to see Belmont women's basketball to give away. You can watch the Bruins take on the Kentucky Wildcats at the Curb Event Center on Sunday if you are caller number 3 at 615-737-1025. Caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Belmont women's basketball take on Kentucky at the Curb Event Center on Sunday. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Maze, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. We are presented by Bax Homeworks. Financing options are available to make your remodel easier than you think with Bax Homeworks. Get a free estimate now at baxhomeworks.com. We are talking 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh, who I imagine will be a hot head coaching candidate this cycle. Could the Titans be interested in Robert Saleh? We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. One texter says, I'm down for Saleh. Mike McDonald on Seattle is calling defensive plays there, and they're doing great. Terrell says, I would like Robert Saleh as head coach and Brian Daboll as offensive coordinator. Can that work? It's a good question.
Yeah, very good one.
I've seen a lot of people manifesting a Robert Saleh-Mike McDaniel pairing, depending on what the Dolphins do with Mike McDaniel. If Robert Saleh is the head coach who also calls the defensive plays and Mike McDaniel is the offensive coordinator, I've seen a few people wishing that into existence on Titans Twitter. So who knows? But I think Robert Saleh is an interesting choice. Again, he's got the stink of the Jets on him. I told you the record, 20-36 as Jets head coach. I also told you the quarterbacks. Guys, go back to the preseason. Remember how bad Tim Boyle was in the preseason? Imagine him starting regular season games for you. Because Robert Saleh had to do that for a couple of games with the New York Jets. So just keep that in mind. Let's go to Luke on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Luke, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Thanks, gentlemen. I like the Saleh hiring. I think the key is who's he going to bring with him as an offensive coordinator. And that, I think that will have to be the key in that meeting. I also think that if you coach the Browns or the Jets, those are mulligans. Those don't count. Those don't exist, right? But I do have another name. If that doesn't work out, I actually have two names. One is Anthony Weaver. I'm a Miami Dolphins guy, and that guy reminds me so much of D'Amico Ryan. And he's also got a passing game coordinator there, Bobby Slowick, who might be an option there. But there's also another guy that I like out in Seattle who's putting up points with Darnold, who Titans could have had, but Clint Kubiak. I think he might not be a bad choice if you want to give Cam somebody to work with.
Thank you, guys, for the call, Luke. Bobby Slowick stood out to me just because, remember, he was the Texans' offensive coordinator. He was the hot name. And then he ended up getting fired shortly thereafter by the Texans. So it is interesting how Brian Callahan was the same way. Brian Callahan was a hot name on the circuit. We saw how it worked out with Brian Callahan. But I remember Bobby Slowick getting a lot of attention when the Texans started playing well, but he didn't last very long in that position, and now he's working, did he say, in Miami?
That was Weaver. And I played with Weaver in Baltimore. He was a good player there. He seemed to be an excellent coach.
Slowick is the passing game coordinator for the Dolphins.
Oh, okay. So Weaver, what you call it? Weaver's there too, right?
Weaver is the defensive coordinator.
Yeah, there. Hey, listen, they're going to have their, pick of individuals that they want to bring in for interviews. Now, whether those individuals take the job or not, that's up to them. But I think they will have their pick. And I think because they chose to, go away from Brian so early, I'm hoping that they've, really stored a – and I know it's kind of hard because of the season and you want to, concentrate on the season, but – you still got to look for a head coach next year for next season. So hopefully these names are already in a hat and in their sight, sort of going through all of them.
So Dan Graziano over at ESPN.com wrote this earlier, which I thought was interesting. Quote, people see what Mike Vrabel has been able to do in New England this season and what Jim Harbaugh has been able to do with the Chargers in his first two years there. Excuse me. And teams want to make sure they're bringing in someone they know can run a program. Not someone who has just been really good at the smaller job who they think can run a program. I think that gives guys like Vance Joseph, Arthur Smith, Matt Nagy, etc. a chance. Even if they weren't successful in their first stints as head coaches, they've done the job and probably learned from whatever mistakes they might have made the first time. And Saleh would fall into that category too.
Isn't it somehow this trends the way it does? Because for a while, the trend was like, you got to get that bright offensive mind. You got your quarterback, you get the bright offensive mind, and then you're not going to lose him, right? Because you have the bright offensive mind as your coordinator, he's going to get a head job, and you're going to lose your offense. Now the trend seems to be more like who's going to run the program, the more traditional thing. It's still hard to find the right guy. Saleh still stands out to me. About all these names that were thrown out there, I do think Saleh might be the most sought after of all of them. He's going to be interviewing for a lot of places, I think.
Brett on our text line says, if you're Saleh, why would you step into another uncertain quarterback situation? Of course, most opportunities don't have a clear quarterback. But if I am Saleh, I am waiting for the best possible quarterback situations. Okay, so at the moment, there are only two teams that we know are looking for coaches, the Tennessee Titans and the New York Giants. And we know the quarterback situations there. Cam Ward, Jackson Dart. Let's look at some of the other teams who could make coaching changes. The Las Vegas Raiders, what's their quarterback situation? The Atlanta Falcons, what's their quarterback situation? The Arizona Cardinals, what's their quarterback situation? The Miami Dolphins, what's their quarterback situation? Maybe the only potential opening where you're not necessarily worried about that is if the Cincinnati Bengals fire Zach Taylor because you have Joe Burrow. But Joe Burrow, for as great as he is, does get hurt a lot. But none of the potential openings, as the texter acknowledged. They're all uncertain quarterback situations because that's what gets coaches fired in the first place.
Right.
So, like if you're Robert Saleh, let's just do this for a second. If you're Robert Saleh and you look at the Titans, Cam Ward, we're just talking about quarterbacks right now. Titans, Cam Ward. Giants, Jackson Dart. Raiders, I guess Geno Smith? I don't know what his contract situation is. Atlanta.
Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. Atlanta, Michael Penix, Arizona, who knows what's going to happen with Kyler Murray. Miami, Tua's always got issues.
I think Saleh, it would really surprise me if he goes to the Giants or if the Giants really go after him. I don't know. There's a Giants-Jets thing going on there. I don't know. But if I'm the Titans, what are you selling? You're selling new stadium. Mm-hmm. You're selling got the quarterback, we think, and we're going to build this thing. It's not the most attractive thing, but I think you could make it competitive depending on what jobs come open. The Dolphins one intrigues me because as troubled as Tua is and as bad as they've been this year, you still look at it and say, could you make something of that? Because when they have everybody, it looked pretty good.
I think if you look at these teams and potential coaches and how they're going to look at them, is the Giants a good job? Giants have some good players. They got their best player coming back, the receiver. You know, you look at their offense, you look, they got a good offense. You know, they got neighbors.
You have a young quarterback who is concussion prone.
He's concussion
prone because of how he likes to run the ball.
But your defense, you got some good players on defense. But just coaching in the New York market, it's going to be, man, they may not cut you no slack, you know.
And he knows that. Exactly. He knows that.
So he's been in that market
before. Does he want to live that again?
Do you want to go through it again?
It's going to be a lot of the same reporters that you were dealing with the Jets.
Absolutely. So then you start to look at other places. The Vegas Raiders, do you want to be there? Look at their talent. You know,
that team is yuck.
Yeah.
Yuck.
And then you look at the Titans. And I know there are other teams on that potentially can be on that list. But if you start looking at the Titans, then listen, I'm not going to sit here and say they got a bunch in a cupboard because they don't. They have some, you know, they have some things in there you can use, some things in there that you got to let grow. You know, it's out in the garden somewhere. You got to let it grow for a while, and hopefully you can, you know, sort of do the things necessary to hope that player develops the way you want him to. But to say that they have a lot in a cupboard, say more than the Giants or somebody, they don't. But I think that if you're going to allow Borgonzi to do his job and be the GM, I think that's one plus for me if I'm a head coach. And then two, I think, Cam Ward, if you continue to watch him, you see there's some development in there. There's some things
I don't
that he's
know.
Doing.
See, that's an interesting question, is if you're Saleh or whoever you deem to be the two or three top guys, how do they view the Titans? How do they view Cam Ward? I think that's an important question.
Yes, it's always going to be the question because you don't want to go into a team where they just don't have a quarterback at all. And it's going to make it, and that's what he went into with the Jets.
Right, but you know Cam Ward is your quarterback when you take that job. What do you think of Cam Ward? I think some sought-after coaches might say, not sure. I want to hitch my wagon to that if there's another option.
But, again, coaches have
no
egos.
No guarantees.
Yeah, coaches have egos. And I just look at this situation as, is it the greatest situation? No, and everybody understands that. That's why they're looking for another head coach. But I think if they allow, and that's the big question mark, if they allow patience, you have a slate to work with that is pretty clean. And the quarterback, I believe, is there. Again, will he be an elite quarterback? I don't know. But I think he is. I think there is franchise quarterback in him. Now, what does that end
up?
And
a lot of coaches might see
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
I can make that work.
You have what is to believe a franchise quarterback. You have some guys that you can, you know, they can be sort of like that second tier of guy, but you need you some flat out guys that can go get it. Like Trey said yesterday, we need one of those guys that can catch the ball. One of those catch the ball guys.
Yes.
We need one of those catch the ball guys, a top line guy. So the palette is sort of clean here, but I know there's a question mark with the quarterback. I get that.
And the other thing, too, is before we wrap this up, Saleh, as we've acknowledged, is a defensive-oriented coach. Mm-hmm. So as he looks at Cam Ward, he also has to wonder, okay, who am I hiring to be my offensive coordinator in this situation, and what does that guy think about Cam Ward? I think that probably has to factor into it as well. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on Robert Saleh as a Titans head coaching candidate. He will be on the 49ers sideline as defensive coordinator on Sunday when the Titans visit the 49ers. Niners, by the way, favored, by 12.5. 615-737-1025. Coming up next. A lot of you hate Notre Dame. That's well established. But it feels like Notre Dame is making people hate it even more, which I wasn't sure was possible. We'll discuss that coming up next. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
I will say this, and I'm a little outspoken about it. I don't like how Notre Dame's reacted to it.
So, okay,
I think Pete's his behavior has been egregious. It's been egregious going after Jim Phillips when they saved Notre Dame during COVID. We all knew, and it was very transparent, Hunter was very transparent about it, the chair, that as Notre Dame and Miami got closer together, head-to-head would be a factor. Okay? BYU lost. They became closer together, head-to-head made a difference in that decision. So I think he is totally out of bounds in his approach, and if he was in the room, I'd tell him the same thing.
That was Big 12 Commissioner
Dramatic
Brett.
Pause. Let that settle.
That was Big 12 Commissioner Brett Yormark taking issue with Notre Dame Athletic Director Pete Bavakwa. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. And Bavakwa has been on a bit of a rampage since Notre Dame was excluded from the college football playoff. You may recall he accused the ACC of engaging in a targeted social media campaign against the Irish. He said that the ACC did permanent damage to its relationship with Notre Dame because of it. And also, this just crossed my timeline. Apparently, this is from Yahoo Sports, Notre Dame's omission from the college football playoff even briefly led to the cancellation of a book event at the school's bookstore. According to Matt Fortuna, the Notre Dame bookstore canceled a Friday event with CFP committee member Ivan Mazel for his book about longtime Notre Dame coach Frank Leahy titled American Coach.
Now that's petty.
Yeah. Now it's apparently back on. But Notre
Dame, back on.
It's back on now. But they did take the step of canceling the book signing, apparently because the author of a book about a Notre Dame coach was on the CFP committee.
Notre Dame, you said it correctly, Willie, yesterday. This was the emotion. We're not going to the game. We're not doing it. No. If y'all don't, we're taking our golden ball and we're going home. And then after 24 hours later, it was like, ooh, should we have done? But they got to stick with it now.
Right.
You got to stick with it now. Like, damn, should we have done that? Okay.
And the AD doubled down.
Exactly.
Tripled down.
He doubled down. It's like, man, listen, Notre Dame, I said it yesterday, I'm going to say it again. This is a big PR problem. I don't know. What adult over there, well, I guess all of them, thought that this would be the best thing to do for college football is to, because you, one, are not part of a conference, didn't have to win a conference game, lost a head-to-head to the team that ultimately got in, and you just said, you know what, forget it. We're going home. And whatever bowl game y'all got us set to go to, we don't even want to go. Take it somewhere else. We don't even need y'all no more. We're just going to go to class and be Notre Dame. We get prepared for next season. I didn't think that they would believe that it would have an impact on them. Now it's having, and there's nothing they can do about it now.
Notre Dame,
nothing.
This was my point earlier. Notre Dame, you don't have to really try that hard to get people to hate Notre Dame football.
Notre Dame is like Duke.
It's like
and
Duke.
I hate to say
it's like,
that.
It's like the Yankees.
I get
that.
It.
It's yes. Like the Yankees.
I get
like
it.
The Cowboys. There's
I
very
get
little
it.
In between. Either you're in or you're out.
Right. Mm-hmm. It doesn't take a lot to get people to find a reason to despise Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. But the actions of its athletic director over the past few days, I mean, I never thought I'd see the day that you needed more reason to hate Notre Dame. But Pete Bavakwa and all of the things he said, the fact that the bookstore apparently, briefly, canceled a book signing because the author was a member of the CFP committee, come on! I actually do have to give Notre Dame credit for making it easier to dislike them.
That has always been something, especially in this area of the country, mm-hmm. It seems like, because they have a national following. But I think it maybe used to be even more pronounced. But I've always been fascinated about how polarizing Notre Dame football is on sports talk radio. I've been doing this for a long time, and that has always been the case. Do you guys think if Bavakwa did a 180 today, or maybe don't even send Bavakwa out there. Send Freeman out there. Send the coach.
I like the way you said Bavakwa yesterday. You were like, Bavakwa?
Bavakwa. That's an old Tommy Lasorda. I don't know if it's any relation. There was a longtime baseball player named Kurt Bavakwa, and he was a sort of an animated player, and he got the ire of Tommy Lasorda one time, and Lasorda went on a tirade back in the day. When there's all kinds of great Tommy Lasorda. Just ask Pete Weber. He'll give you the full file of all these great things. You'll be laughing hysterically. But he was getting after Bavakwa one time. He didn't call him Kurt Bavakwa. He was like, Bavakwa?
Bavakwa?
Hitters like Bavakwa?
Bavakwa sounds like a character on Seinfeld that Jerry doesn't like.
Yes, exactly.
Ugh, Bavakwa.
So let's take Bavakwa and put him on the side. Run Freeman out there, who is very classy, normally. I'm sure he was bitter as well.
Well,
I don't know
respected.
What he said on the right. And what if he says, we made a mistake? I've rethought it. I've talked to the people. We would like to play. What would happen? Like the TV people, some people might watch him. Would we let him in?
The TV people would cave. The TV people would absolutely
but
cave.
But like, I don't know. Who's taking their spot in the bowl game? That's been determined, right? They'd have to kick somebody out or slide people around?
Yes.
Yeah, I think once they said we weren't in, they ain't getting back in. But you, again.
It'd be pretty amazing
it didn't
just
take
to
a
see
lot
what happened.
Enjoy the Snoop Dogg Bowl, Notre Dame.
Exactly. It didn't take a lot to hate Notre Dame. But don't do it to yourself. It's like you just basically did this to yourself. And it was an emotional decision. And maybe, just maybe, you're regretting it now because you're getting a lot of backlash from it. And I don't know how you – if I'm a Notre Dame alum or four, I don't know how you defend this. I really – other than saying, well, even if you say they didn't let us – they were unfair. Well, they were unfair to a couple of teams probably. Yeah. Vanderbilt was a team that we felt was – the committee was unfair. Hell, Vandy thought they were unfair. But what did Vandy do? We're still playing in our bowl game.
Texas
had
the whole argument that they thought if we played Ohio U instead of Ohio State, we'd be in. They had a beef.
West, but they still playing in their games.
Yeah.
Wes on our text line says, thanks, guys. Now I'm craving baklava. Just great. Matthew says, I never liked Notre Dame, but I respected them. Now the respect is gone. Josh says, they did get left out for a crap Bama team that got blown out of the first and last games of the season. They are a blue blood, too.
You know what? We have not really talked about Alabama getting in as much.
Yeah, the Crimson Tide have gone off scot-free.
We've focused so much on Miami and Notre Dame.
Yes.
The more people I talk to, they're more mad about Alabama getting in there than the other. Because of the third loss and how they kind of didn't play very well down the stretch and completely got whipped in that last game. They
especially
leaned on the, hey, don't penalize us. We made the championship.
But BYU, which Brett Yormark, the Big 12 commissioner who you heard in that clip, acknowledged, BYU got blown out in its conference championship game and didn't make the playoff. But Alabama, who did not get blown out by as much, but they did get blown out.
Here's
I think it was 34-7 for BYU, 28-7 for Alabama, the final scores.
Here's my brand bias. I'm not bitter. Yes, I am. Question of the day. If Vanderbilt had Alabama's record, got to the SEC championship game and lost, their third loss, are they in?
No.
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 Heck no.
Well, we know that.
They are in because they're Bama, right?
Of course, yes.
The committee did say, though, it's because they beat Georgia in the regular season but lost to them in the conference. That's what
that
that's
is
what
a
they
good
said.
Win.
That's
that is a
said.
Good win.
It was a great win, and it was at Georgia, which is very significant. Yeah.
Yes. But Alabama did not get the benefit of the doubt last year, however. No. SMU got it instead.
And I can see it. I'm not a three losses automatic, you're out. They did get the win at Georgia. They also had a bad loss
to Florida State.
To Florida, that was a bad loss.
Yes, it was,
as it turned out.
Craig, a Notre Dame fan, says, I have no problem with Miami getting it ahead of us. I have a problem with the process. Every show we were ranked ahead of Miami, and then they flip-flop us at the end. Also, how are you going to sit there and say BYU lost and that drew Alabama closer to Notre Dame, but Alabama got its butt kicked while running for negative 3 yards in their championship game but doesn't get penalized? It's not going to have a PR impact. People already hate us. They can hate us more. We are okay with that.
I didn't say Alabama deserved to be in. I would have rather had
I think the week before when you were the judge,
yeah,
you I did mention yes, if I Alabama did. Lost the third game, you would have to take a look at that.
Yeah, I did. I took a look at it, and everybody else did too.
And what did
they
do?
They let Alabama in.
Bavakwa.
But
I think we all agree that the process
is flawed, yes.
In a lot of ways, but I think everybody agrees that it would be better if they didn't do the weekly show leading up.
Yes.
But you have a lot of money involved. Will ESPN do the right thing? They're the ones always, you know, Nick Saban's great at poking holes in the process. He has been awesome. What if he goes public? Like, would ESPN let him say, hey, we shouldn't do the show for the 4 weeks? Mm. That would be great TV. I would love to see that. Or would ESPN say, Nick, we love you and everything, but you can't say that.
You got a knob.
You can't say that.
You can't. That's not something.
Don't
you
we agree? The problem that they have is they back themselves into corners each week going, well, this is what we did 2 weeks ago. We told you that blah, blah, blah. And now 2 weeks later, you're like, oh, man, I can't believe we said that 2 weeks ago. We got to change this around. It just leads to all kinds of complications that you wouldn't have if you just ranked them one time at the end.
Well, Notre Dame, just get in a damn conference. Like the other sports within your school, basketball, all these other sports within your university, they're in a conference.
Notre Dame, I believe, has 24 sports in the ACC. I believe the only sports that aren't are football and men's hockey. I believe those are the only sports.
Football, really.
Football and ice hockey are the only ones that they are in ACC.
When it's something like this, you had your opportunity. You didn't want to get it in because you didn't want to share the money. That's all. You didn't want to share the revenue. And okay. Well, you can't. What do you expect when an ACC team is sitting there? And what am I supposed to do as an ACC commissioner? Fight for you? No, I'm not going to badmouth you. But I'm fighting for my ACC team because we need a team in there so we can get the money too. You already getting your money. We need to get ours.
I mean, the ACC network did replay Miami's win against Notre Dame 13 times. But I am not above a little pettiness. But even for me, canceling a book signing, albeit briefly, but canceling a book signing for a book on one of your coaches because the author of the book was on the CFP committee is a new level of pettiness that I even can't get behind. 615-737-1025 actually one texter says, I think we can all agree, but Bavakwa has a punchable name. Agreed. 615-737-1025. Let's bring in Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow. We'll ask him about all of this as well. I'm curious for Hutton's thoughts on what happened in the college football playoff bracket reveal. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.